On this episode, I talk about what it was like to be on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia playing the character Gail the Snail.
What's happening today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go! Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Hey everyone, let's podcast. My name's Mary Lynn Rice Cub. You're listening to Checking In with Mary Lynn. Thanks for stopping by. I'm in Atlanta right now in a hotel room by myself. The TV's on without the sound. I have flowers from the production that I'm working on. Guys, I'm on a movie. For all of my giving up, I never gave up acting. I still love acting. I still have a lot to do. I feel like in my heart that I could do it for a longer period of time, but I was done auditioning in a certain way where it's drop everything and you go across town for something that you already know you're not really going to get. Okay, I've just described the nature of auditioning. I just had to come to terms with what it meant to me and what I thought I deserved, and also how I wanted to spend my time and energy. So it's an adjustment in thinking, and some things happen in my personal life where, and also just going through the process of saying, okay, this isn't what it used to be to me, and also letting go of the idea that I thought I had built to a certain point and that I shouldn't have to audition, and coming to terms with, well, this is where I'm at in my life, and it's still a great position to be, and I'm just going to collect myself, gather myself, and if I can at all stand to go on these auditions, I'm going to pick up myself up by my bootstraps and do as many as I can. So anyway, I got a job on this movie, and it was very exciting. It was kind of a roller coaster of ups and downs and weird surprises that were disappointing and others that were amazing, and I'm not supposed to talk about it yet. It hasn't been announced. I don't know if it's going to be. I have a contract in place, but it hasn't been actually put on paper yet. There are agreements, handshake agreements have been made about this project. And then I was called out to rehearse before having the actual, you know, I haven't signed anything, but what I'm saying is it happened. And then 3 days later, they said, can you come out and rehearse for a week before we even start shooting? So that's what I'm doing. I'll explain it more later. It's super fun. It's very different for me. It's a very, exciting, creative, imaginative, very different kind of project that I've ever done before with people who are at the top of their game, and I'll explain more later, and I'm really excited about it. But yeah, I'm here in Atlanta, and it's my son's last week of summer. I got to spend some time with him before I left. I think he's camping right now in the Sequoias, so that's kind of amazing. I'm a little bit jealous. And I had to leave my rescue dog, Leo. He's a sensitive guy, you know? He didn't want me to leave. He's chewing up everything. I had to introduce him to the dog walker, and she came over and fed him meat so he wouldn't growl. I think they're getting used to each other, but I had to do a crash course. And I said, hey, I'm going to be gone. Can you come over for these 2 days, you know, come to the door and meet him, and hopefully everything will go okay when I'm gone. That's what happens when you get a dog, people. It's a big responsibility. I'm paying almost my entire paycheck to have this dog sitter take care of him. Well, she's coming 3 times a day and he's sleeping alone. Okay, enough about the dog. I just wanted to give you an idea of where I'm at in my life right now. Things are pretty good, pretty interesting. Some really cool people on this project that I get to see and hang out with. I'm learning new things. Tell you more later. I was out the other night in Atlanta, which is, I've been here quite a few times, so I'm somewhat familiar with my surroundings. There's a club I really like here, some people that I know here. Got me a couple of comedy spots that last night, and I was recognized. People were really excited to see me because they know me as Gail the Snail from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I play the gangs, a couple of the gangs. Is it D? And what's his name? What's Glenn's character's names? People who watch the show are incredibly versed in it. Like, if you're a fan of that show, I watch it. I haven't watched it in a while, but I'm not completely versed in every episode, and I do enjoy it when I watch it. It's a really, really funny, groundbreaking show. If you don't know it, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's been on forever. It's amazing. I'm going to tell a story of the part that I play on there. It's only been 2 to 3 episodes max, and it was a really popular character. I think there's memes of it, but she is disgusting. She's their cousin, and she only wants to party and get high at her own dad's funeral, and they just want her to go away so bad. The only way they can make her go away is by throwing salt on her, and that's why they call her Gail the Snail. And she just wants to party and have a good time. But I don't forget. I mean, it's one of my favorite characters, and even though I haven't done her that much, and somebody on Instagram was like, talk about your cameos on Always Sunny, which is kind of funny because a cameo is like a walk-on, which is kind of what it is, but she made such an impression that people, I mean, they recognize me from that almost as much as from being on 24, which I was on for 7 years, and Always Sunny I was on for probably 2.5 episodes. So that's pretty amazing, actually. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for playing such a memorable character, and to them for creating such a memorable character. This is a very self-congratulatory moment. Just going to take that in, clear my throat, which is always great for a podcast. I'm going to take in my greatness, just breathe it in. Everybody else, just do the same. Take a deep breath. Understand how great you are. So I recently also did a cameo. It's this app, if you don't know it. It's pretty fun. You can hire me on it to give you a special message. And usually it's for different occasions. And I've done some as Chloe from 24. I've done some as myself. I have to admit, it's pretty fun to do in character. And then it was next level when somebody asked me to congratulate his wife on being pregnant with their baby, about to have a baby, but as Gail the Snail. And Gail the Snail is her morals are down the drain, and she is just a gross character and doesn't understand why she's gross, which is what makes her pretty great. She just lives to party, and I think in one scene I was humping a pillow, and it didn't make it it was a bonus scene. And I guess I'll just set the stage for those of you that don't know. I already explained they just wanted to go away, but she's always like, when I first started to play her on set, you know, I showed up, I had some ideas, but I didn't fully form the character. I like to work in the environment, you know, see the tone, see the tempo. And we started reading through her scenes for the first time, and they said, you're too likable. And then I would go back into hair and makeup, and we'd do something ridiculous. I mean, she is ridiculous, but it's totally believable. So they would do something over the top, or I would do something over the top, and we'd dial it back. We just found this sweet spot where I went inside and found the real disgusting version of myself. And it was pretty collaborative, and we would make each other laugh. And I think it may have been Charlie who was like, Or I was doing something that reminded him, and then we just kind of escalated it. But she just always has like too much saliva in her mouth, and she's just sort of obnoxious and tone deaf to social cues. And she brags about having sex even though she's in her late 30s. She gives Danny DeVito's character a hand job under a table, and he says, "Gail, you're mashing it, Gail, you're mashing it." And my mom is right there, and I brag to her that I'm having sex, and she says, "Gail, you're in your 30s. You should be having sex." And I want to get high at my dad's funeral. There was one whole scene where I was just looking for a nub of pot that was buried in the carpet. I think that got cut out. There's something else disgusting on the Thanksgiving episode. I know somebody out there will remember better than me. I think it was another hand job that happened at that Thanksgiving episode, but did it make it in where I say the N-word? We did a whole thing where Gail just unapologetically was kind of turning hip-hop, and it was really funny because she's just very inappropriate and wrong, but relentless. Really fun to play. And I recommend everybody find their inner Gail the Snail and let her out a couple times a year. You know, just see what it feels like to be her. So anyway, I had a lot of fun doing the cameo message of just like, I just smoked out, I got high in honor of your new baby. And it really made me laugh that she was like giving the baby a bottle of rosé, you know, because it's classy, because it's pink for the baby, and getting high in honor of the baby. Just like weird, wrong stuff, and talking about the kind of sex that led to them having the baby. And Gail's a lot of fun, you know. I get really self-conscious if I'm just talking about acting stuff. But then on the other hand, it's like, it's good to remember and also tell the story of some of the stuff. And Danny DeVito was really nice. This was quite a few years ago now, the first Gail episodes. But they were already, I don't know, it was already like 6-7 seasons in at least, when they brought Gail in. And Danny DeVito was very down to earth and just one of those iconic, just such a pro at his job, that he would deliver the most hilarious things and make it look really effortless. I mean, he knew what his character was. So he knew his character really well at that point, but he also is such a consummate pro at comedy and has such an iconic background. I was at his house for some reason for a party. My memory is bad. I went to a party at his house. I was in the movie Man on the Moon, which was the story of Andy Kaufman, directed by Milos Forman. And that was years ago. Jim Carrey was playing Andy Kaufman. And I think that Danny DeVito was having some event at his house. But that movie was so long ago. I'll have to ask Matt, my husband, because I think he went to this party on the beach. And it was at his Malibu home. And it was one of the fanciest. I really felt like I was a part of Hollywood. Must have been some anniversary of that movie, and I was on a list, and I think he said hello to me like you do when you're the host and you don't really know everyone because you've invited everybody on the call sheet. And then we showed up, you know, we sat and had a drink or two and kind of didn't really talk to anybody, said hi to him, probably said hi to a couple other people and then left. But it was right on the beach as the sun was going down. Yeah, just a weird memory I have. I've done a lot of really cool Hollywood stuff. Maybe the name of this podcast is, Hey, I'm Proud of Myself. Here's another thing I remembered as I was, right before I was thinking I was going to talk about this. I'm pretty certain that I auditioned to play the part of Dee. And I remember seeing Caitlin in the room. And she was so prepared. She was so off book. And I'm more off book now than I was then. My style early on when I first started auditioning in Hollywood was to just go in as me, because I was kind of out of my mind. I was socially awkward and not more than socially awkward. I had a lot of anxiety and I didn't know my place in the world. And I think if I would have thought about it, the gravity of what I was doing, I wouldn't have been able to pull it off. Like, had I moved with a stack of headshots and been like, I'm going to go to your audition now. I was just whacked out of my mind, and I had an attitude, but I just had this energy. I was propelled and compelled to do it, but I didn't think it through very much. I just kind of went in with this raw energy and, you know, would wear a t-shirt that I got from a thrift store and go into these auditions. I was a little bit more professional by the time Always Sunny, the pilot, came out. But still, I remember seeing Caitlin, and she was so focused and so professional and so into it. Not that I wasn't into it, but I think I always came with some attitude of like, yeah, either you want me or you don't. I'm going to do my thing with it. And I remember not being surprised that she got the part. And then it kind of blew my mind later when her and Rob ended up getting married, because she and I actually knew each other way before that, when we both were dating different people. So it's kind of cool to know somebody way back when and watch the evolution of their life. She and I had done a really bad sketch comedy show that shot in London. It was a recreation of an English show called The Sketch Show, where we verbatim recreated the sketches, and they told us we were gonna write sketches and all this stuff. It was well-meaning people, but it was just, that might be a whole other podcast in itself. I have to get Paul F. Tompkins over here and recreate, and Caitlin. We can talk about our time on the show. But anyway, back to Gail. I had a great time working on the show. And if I'm honest, I wish they brought back Gail more. And I'm not really sure why they don't. I think that's just, they don't operate necessarily from character storylines. They operate from concepts and the things that the gang does. But I'm good with it now because it was so much fun and had such an impact. Kind of blows my mind that people recognize me from that. But I was a little bit like sad, you know, like, she's your cousin, man. Have her back more often. Let's start throwing the salt again. I think that'd be really fun. But yeah, Gail, she's a great lady, you know, and I have fond memories of working with the guys. They were very collaborative, and also recently coming back and doing the Boss Hogs episode on the plane, and they had a real kind of hollowed out, not hollowed out, like a section of an airplane that wasn't hollowed out. It had actual, where there was a bunch of vomiting, which I actually got through fine. I wasn't looking forward to that, but everybody, oh my God, what is wrong with my brain? Artemis's character, what is she, spiked? They were all drinking and she spiked it with some kind of, was it ayahuasca or something that people were supposed to be tripping on, and everyone ended up vomiting on the plane. Anyway, that was the return of Gail the Snail. And I was drinking rosé, doing some crotch work. I got to have some scenes with Caitlin, and that was super fun. And we were in a real plane, modified for filming. But yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. And it's pretty interesting to be a person not thinking about that, and then I show up to do my comedy set, and a couple of comics kind of snuck into where I was standing, like peeked in and giggled and said, I just want to say hi to you because you're Gail the Snail. And I don't even know how to wrap my mind around the fact that I got to do that. I guess this is just a self-congratulatory podcast about Gail the Snail, you know? She's a part of my life. I believe in her. She lives in my Cameo on my app where you can pay to have me do a message. This is not an ad. I just kind of surprised myself with how enjoyable it is. Thanks for listening. This has been an interesting exploration of my own work. I feel good about it. Also a little self-conscious. Indianapolis, September 6th and 8th, I'm doing my first convention. It's called Horror Hound. Weekend of September 6th through 8th in Indianapolis. Also, if you've written a review for the podcast, I want to say thank you. And please keep listening. The next one will not be about acting at all. I hope you enjoyed this Gail the Snail episode. And please hit me up with any questions. I'll try to answer them. I've found as I try to recollect this stuff, my memory's really spotty. And sometimes people just want to know, was it fun? You know, especially if they're fans of the show. And the answer is yes. The guys are really, they all three work together. At least they did at that time. And it was really collaborative. And it still had that spark of the magic of the uniqueness of something that they just created their own unique comedy, the kind that had never been seen before. So, like, its own unique expression. And I'm really proud that I got to be around that. And I learned a lot, you know, about their focus. There's a certain kind of focus and looseness that comes with having your own comedic point of view. Like, they know their own language. It's a lot of fun to be able to fit into that. So I encourage you, as I said, to find your own Gail the Snail. And yeah, maybe I'll do it again sometime. And if you're a fan, thank you. And, you know, let's go ahead and take a picture with the salt, but you don't have to actually throw salt at me. And to my Uber driver who wants to be an actor. Well, first I said I was in town working on a movie, and he asked me if I was a gaffer. And I said, no, I'm an actor. And then he perked up and he said, oh, hey, I wanted to do that. And then I gave him counseling on a good way to try to do that. He said, how do you memorize lines? And I said, you know, that's really only part of it. You just kind of do it. And he said, well, I'm afraid that if I perform, I'm going to mess it up. And I said, well, that's part of the magic of it. You just don't know. You might mess up, but you do it anyway. And also, while I've been here in Atlanta for a couple days so far on set, this guy at CVS was smiling and he said, you're here. I recognize you. And he didn't say from what, but he was smiling and laughing at me. And then I ran into him at another aisle of CVS and he said, you again? And he started laughing. And then on the set, there's a bunch of us. We're kind of soldiers. I'll explain it later. Maybe in the next podcast I'll be able to. But although I don't want to do two acting ones in a row. He said, I loved you on The Office. And I wanted to say thank you and be done with it. But then I realized that I might be seeing this same guy for 7 weeks. So I had to tell him, yeah, I wasn't in The Office. But I auditioned for it. I mean, that's kind of cool. Like earlier I was saying that I auditioned to play Sweet D, and I also auditioned to be Pam on The Office. That's pretty major to have those two in the zeitgeist humongous comedies that I was close to being those characters that were so amazingly done by Jenna Fisher and Caitlin Olsen, both amazing comedic talents in very different ways. Caitlin was so brilliant. It was so cool to be on that bad sketch show and then watch her sort of flourish and take off and fly like a butterfly and be so funny. All right. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. It feels a little mellow, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. We'll be back next time. Remember to find your inner Gail the Snail. And also, if you think you're going to make a mistake, just jump off the edge and try it anyway. You know, do the performance. memorize your line, do your rehearsal, do your practice, and then just let it fly. And if you make a mistake, just do it anyway. Whatever the thing is. What is your thing? All right, thanks. Please review and comment, and let's talk. Bye.